can follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome back to another edition of Swoop's World, Swoop's World Primetime on a, oh, there it is. Yeah, Swoop's World Primetime on a Wednesday night, and just getting started here, man, on the new Talk Story Radio Network. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
Good, good. You got anything to play over there? Is it you coming through yet?
I'm not coming through at all. I got nothing.
It should be starting up pretty soon here. Click that little button right there. See if that works. There you go. And it should be starting in a second. Anyway, oh, man, it's Thursday or Wednesday, man. Thursday's tomorrow, Wednesday, man. And, you know, I'm still recovering from last night. Man.
Yeah, we did a little drinking.
Yeah, we went out and we got to see our guests from last week, Melissa Cox and Rain Lee.
Yep.
They were playing here in Long Beach at the Blue Cafe. And what a good
LBC.
Show. Yeah. Well, let me just adjust a couple of the levels here, man. We're just...
I'm still getting nothing, dude.
Really? Nothing coming through over there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know what that's all about. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'll do it, no. But it's coming through. It's coming through on this one here. So
all right.
We are live.
Sometimes you may get
not just yet archived, though.
Get all the way out and then come
yeah,
back.
So, well, you know, it's still a new process, man. It's still a new process.
An earning curve.
Getting this all squared away here and trying to work the new system. And, it's you know, that's why we're testing it and see how it works and see where we go from here with it. So, it's the way it goes, man. But anyways, like I was saying, we went to the Blue Cafe last night. We saw Rain Lee and Melissa Cox, and they were good. They had a good time, a good
really
show.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be playing some of their music here in a little bit. And you're still having problems over there, huh?
Yeah, I clicked out and completely closed the window. And
wow, that's kind of odd. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a... We'll go to, you know what, let's put a song on and then see if we can work through some of these things here. You know, matter of fact, we'll put one of Rain's on. This one's called Blood Red River.
To the ground, tongue speak of searing truths.
but it cuts like a knife. After the clouds fell apart, after the stars all went blind. In the river, in the blood red river. In the river, in the blood red. Roads where it washes away, and then they poison the well. They stole the national trust, ashes to glorious ash, and dust to dust. In the river, in the blood red river, I cradled her in my arms, but we burn all the maps. The walls of Jericho fall into the great expanse, and now they turn. From shades of blue to black, 'cause when the devil speaks, you lose your soul in the cracks. In the river, in the blood red river. In the river, in the blood red.
Blood Red River, and she was performing last night. We saw her last night. Her and Melissa were guests on the show last week, and really good. We really enjoyed our night last night. Enjoyed checking them out.
Exceptional performers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, man, I was talking earlier. The news here in LA today is Kobe Bryant, huh?
Kobe stepped in it. Again. He does seem to have a knack to doing that.
He's pretty good at that. Got hit with a $100,000 fine, using derogatory terms. And I saw it on TV. He's just screaming, he kind of tried to yells at the ref to just give him a technical. And then that was it. And he called him an effing,
Yeah. It just amazes me. I mean, and I understand. I played sports. The heat of the moment.
That was his thing. That's what he said. When he came out and they gave a statement.
Yeah. Well, and that's, when you say things, in the heat of the moment, you say things like you mean to be like hurtful and mean and all that.
Right.
But it's like, the guy's a pro. And, it wasn't even the playoffs. It wasn't, like, the finals. It wasn't, Like, there are certain cases where you could say, not that language would ever really be right, but there are certain times you could say, well, I could see how that happened, or I could see why that happened. It just is, like,
weird. It's like, well, I was listening to
the guy must have really got under his skin or something. I don't know.
I was listening to one of the...
I didn't watch the game.
One of the sports talk shows, and Petros Papadakis, whatever his name is. Right. Yeah, he had a good point. He says, you know, things are said, you know, on the court, on the football field, in the locker room. It's every day. It always is. He says, and you know what?
Football field especially.
Yeah, and he says, and you know, and when it was said, you know, you could hear a couple of the announcers kind of chuckle and stuff, whatever. But the bottom line is, once everybody jumps on board the next day,
yeah,
you got to come out and be contrite and, you know, and you know, make your proper apology. And he comes out and he just goes, you know, he goes, you got to own up to what you do. And I said it, you know, and pretty much so there, you know,
yeah.
He goes, I wasn't mean, he says, I didn't mean to, it wasn't the, I didn't say it to hurt anybody. You know, it's the heat of the game, whatever. Well, that's not the time for that. That's the, you know, that time is the time to, you know, say all his apologies and you know, all that kind of stuff. And he didn't do it. So.
Well, and let's face it, though, $100,000 for Kobe is...
He's got it laying around the house. Kids in the kids' room somewhere.
Yeah. Peanuts. My son was asking me the other day, he's like, you know, and we were watching the Dodger game, so he asked me, how much does Andre Ethier make in a day or per game? I said, well, I don't know. I said, but I'm pretty sure he makes about $9 million a year. He plays for 9 months out of the year. That's $1 million a month. That means he gets paid $250,000 a week. They play about 4 or 5 games a week. So, you know, and he's chump, right? He's nothing. He's nowhere near, like, outside L.A., nobody really knows who he is. Everybody just about in the freaking world knows who Kobe Bryant
is.
Exactly. You know, I mean, all the endorsement, I don't know what he makes, but I'm sure it's, well, it's going to go down a little bit.
Well,
now,
that's what they said. One of the things they were talking about, they were saying, you know, after Eagle Colorado, he lost a ton of endorsements.
Right.
And he lost Sprite, whatever. Now he pretty much only has Nike and Turkish Air. And when he took Turkish Air, he pissed off all the Armenians. So, I mean, you know, he's never really regained the kind of... he's not hurting for money.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but he's never
regained... what the Lakers pay him is a pile.
Yeah.
And then whatever comes after that is... You know, like his jerseys and all that crap.
Yeah.
And
all that stuff, yeah. And believe me, he's not hurting for cash.
Not hurting.
Not in the
least.
Yeah,
and $100,000 is, like I said, it's
ain't
it
even
chump
blink.
Change.
It
is like, whatever. Which is probably why he didn't come out and apologize all that much. You know, he's like,
you know,
whatever.
You think you learn your lesson as far as, you know, what do you call it, a public image goes?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. And it's one of those things. It's like, again, in the heat of the moment, I can... Things get said because you know, but afterwards, you know, do the right thing. Just it's offensive language, and you know, the day where you could say stuff like that and get away with it is just on. It's not going to happen.
The days before cameras were on your every move, you know, like you know, the thing is,
I mean, on the football field, you can get away with a lot of that because it's just big and
it's loud
and
it's huge. You can't see,
and you know, usually if you're saying something nasty like that, you're saying it into somebody's ear hole,
right?
You know, so it's like,
and when you're sitting on the bench with no helmet on and looking straight at the camera, anybody can read your lips.
And then, and then the court, I mean, the stands are like
right
practically
against,
on
yeah,
the court.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like, I mean, I remember once I sat courtside in Madison Square Garden. I mean, seriously, I could smell the BO, man. It was if one of the throw-ins, I could have reached out and I could have pantsed the guy. Man. I mean, that's you're that close. You're that, you know, you're not gonna be able to say something like that. And you know, again, it's just you would the guy's been he's not
it's
a rookie.
Arrogance, though.
He's
it's,
just not a rookie.
Yeah,
and you're totally right. It's arrogance, and he's not a rookie, and he can't chalk it up to inexperience.
No,
you know,
no,
he just doesn't fucking care.
Well, he'll care $100,000 less. Which,
yeah,
like you said, it's not even a practice, full practice for him. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just not. But oh well, I don't like the guy anyway, so. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hell of a player. You can't get around that. But
no.
He's, you know, he's not some guy you probably want to hang out with.
No, not a chance.
Unless he's buying drinks, and then maybe for a while.
Now, I met his dad. His dad's a pretty nice guy. Yeah, because his dad coached right over here at the Jewish Center last summer when Sean had that basketball camp.
Oh, really?
He came for a week because he was friends with the guy who was running the program. And really nice guy, you know, but didn't translate that next generation.
You know, the thing is that much money will do, and that much, yeah, not just the money, but like to, you know, the constant attention. You can't leave the house without being mobbed, and everybody knows where you are. There's no anonymity. You know, that, you know, I can see where that would definitely take its toll on people. And yeah. not everybody handles that well, as we have seen. Some people are graceful and roll with it, and others just... can't deal.
Exactly. You got an excellent point there.
Clearly one of those who can't quite cope with all of it.
No. And it's just, yeah. And the thing is even the, you know, the word around town for people who actually run into him on a regular basis and kind of know him is nobody really has any great, nobody ever, I never heard anybody say, he's a great guy, man.
Right.
Not one. But, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, one of the things I was going to cover today was during prime time here is indie music, man. You know, we went to go see the show last night, and we've had quite a few really cool independent musicians on the show.
Yeah.
That are out there doing it, man, making a living playing the music. But they're not signed to a big label, and they're not household names, but they're super talented artists. And I think that whole, you know, the whole indie music scene is... it's something that people should get into. I mean, you should definitely go out and support. You know, because, I mean, last night, I mean, it was a great show, but there, you know, it was only, you know, a handful of people there.
Yeah.
The price to get in was, you know, dirt cheap. And
yeah, once you were in, you could sit there.
Yeah.
For the whole night.
Right.
And they had three bands playing.
Three bands playing.
So you could watch all of them for the $5.
Yeah. And
actually, it's funny. I was sitting there thinking, you know, I got little kids. But I was thinking, if I didn't have little kids, I'm a night owl. I'm like, how cool would this be to just come and hang out, you know, have a couple drinks, and listen to some good music?
Yeah.
I was like, I would do that a lot if I did, you know, the little kids just, you know, bedtime. And
yeah,
all that.
Exactly.
By the time you get them put down in your bed, you're like,
I'm done.
I might have the energy to play a little chess or read a book. Or,
right.
But, yeah, getting in the car and going somewhere.
Going somewhere is out of the question.
Out of the question at that point. Yeah. But, you know, one day.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you think, even when we go to First Fridays, I mean, you think of some of the acts we've seen, you know, the Michelle Showcase, you know, Rasmus Stewart that comes to mind. And even, oh, gosh, what was her name? Couch?
Yeah. Jennifer? Not Jennifer.
Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah Couch.
There you go. Very, very talented. And we've seen, you know, great acts after great acts there. And, you know, this is, it's a cool scene. And I think people need to tap into it and really take it in. And, you know, especially, you know, places like Long Beach. And, you know, and you hear about, like, we were talking to Parker Ainsworth, Austin, Texas. And,
yeah.
You know, I know San Diego's got a pretty decent indie music scene. And, you know, most states have an area where you can go check out some really cool music and support these musicians and enjoy some music for, you know, like we said, reasonable prices.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the big, massive, you know, stadium concerts, which are fun to do, too. But, you know, I'm kind of over a lot of crowds.
Yeah, that's always a huge drawback for me. It's just the crowds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and all the stuff that goes with it, the parking. And then,
yeah.
You know, expensive, like, standing in line to piss is just...
Yeah, it's wrong, man.
Yeah. You know? You know, stupid things like that. You're like, that's just not fun, man.
No.
And as we've spoken to a lot of these musicians, you know, they, generally speaking, across the board, I think all of them have said, yeah obviously they'd like to make more money and be more successful, and they'd be more than happy to play those big gigs. But we've talked to people who've done those big gigs, and they have said, you know, that was good, I made money, but the ones that are the most fun are those smaller, intimate venues where, you know, they get to interact with the crowd, and I could totally see that.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense. So, yeah, much more fun.
Absolutely. Well, what we're going to do is going to let you hear one of the independent artists that we've had on the show previously, and we've met, like, a couple years back. And if you ever see her name or you ever get a chance to go out and see her, definitely check her out. This is J. Ross Perelli.
All right, y'all, this song is for all you folks that don't got no money in your pocket. Just that simple chewing gum. Maybe a couple dimes, a couple nickels. At least you can get yourself a dollar burrito. no sum. Negative plus negative, you end up with none. No money in my pocket, just chewing gum. No money in my pocket, just chewing gum. I try to add it together, but there was no sum. Negative plus negative, you end up with none. No money in my pocket, just chewing gum. No money in my pocket. Streets barefoot, 25 cents left to eat. Daydreams that you count people like sheep. Lives in recycled dreams. America doesn't care, she's not European. She's third generation, not yet human freaking. She trades houses on a constant like a foster home. Lives a life where people still feels alone. Lives a life like it's never been balanced. Yes, she knows what scales are for. She walks with her head held high. Oh, she wants to be president so she can touch the sky. Broken hand-me-down thoughts, but an excellent in math. As she calculates balling shots, welfare for warfare is all she can afford. Rest assured, she knows what money is priceless. Combines it with the only thing she knows. Chewing gum, smiles in her older brother's clothes. Oh, with smiles, chewing gum. All I could, but I was broker than he. At least he had a shopping cart full of dignity. I'm a college graduate, got my bachelor's degree, but the truth remains, I'm living on less than pennies. Eating peanut butter on the couch and still felt blessed. But no gas, no food, and I can't pay rent. But he looked me in the eyes, said I gave you ways to grow. Hardships are part of the victory, so go. If you just have to go, it will burn. So, oh, I looked him in the eyes and said, please don't let me go. All I want is some good food, and let me know. Try to add it together, but there is no sum. Negative plus negative, you're still, you end up with none. No, no money in my pocket, just chewing gum. Said no money. You gotta give the gift, bear the tribe, grab an alibi. Light it like a candle, flame to a twin, think again. I was made a liberty to skin, free begin again. God given back some time, love life, not given as a present. Presented with honor, and now I wear it as a wrap. Crucified your character, you gotta roll the play. I will be the princess, and you will save the day. I ask for mortality and replace it with fate. Pass it like a holy grail, this grail like hearts being passed in a game of love. This game is heroic, but I know it by name. This game is heroic, I know it. I want room from the shade tree. You if y'all got $2 in your pocket. Make some noise if you got maybe 2 dimes in your pocket. Make some noise if you ain't got shit in your pocket.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. Or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Sean Paul on the wall, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
And welcome back to Swoop's World. Swoop's World Primetime on a Wednesday night. And like I was going to say, you can always follow us on Facebook, Twitter, send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. And that's about it for now, man. You want to join us on the chat line? Chat line is open, and you can always give us a call. We're sitting here talking about indie music right now, and we're, you know, gearing up for the Swoop's World late night when LB Food Review guys, Chris and Taylor, join us, and we'll be discussing a little sports and beer tasting and some late night snacks and everything else that comes to mind. But you just heard J. Ross Perelli, one of our past guests, who we just enjoy the heck out of, and you know she's. Excuse me, man. She's one of the wonderful ones we've had, you know, on the air, and we've seen her perform live. And she's traveling all over. I think she's on the East Coast right now. So if you see her name out there or check her out on YouTube or Facebook or something like that, you get to hear some other things she does. She's a fantastic artist, huh, Peter?
Oh, yeah. And easy on the eyes. Very beautiful woman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, who else have we had that, you know, that you can think of right off the top of your head? That Parker Ainsworth?
Parker Ainsworth was great. And then there's Rasmus Stewart, I think you already mentioned.
Yeah.
We had, was it Last Day Off?
Last Day Off, yeah.
Those guys are good.
Those guys are good.
I still, you know, still think of Horchata in a totally different way. Take a Horchata. And then we had Cone.
Oh, yeah, Eddie Cohn.
Eddie Cohn, yeah. And he was a great musician.
And tomorrow we have a new one named Patrick Joseph. Yeah. I mean, new to us.
Yeah. So. And then there's the Riello. How do you say that last name? Riello? Riello?
Oh, Rilera.
Rilera Brothers.
Rilera Brothers, yes, absolutely.
And Daddy Dewdrop.
Daddy Dewdrop. Steve Sose.
Yeah, Steve Sose. Yeah, sure. Forgot about him.
So many. We've been really... how could I forget Michelle Mangione? You know, just so many, and you know, we've been lucky to have them on the show and get to interview a lot of them. And like a couple weeks ago, we had Sub City Dwellers from Manitoba.
Manitoba,
you know, just a lot of talented, talented indie musicians out there, and just love to play and love to you know, get their music out to the. To the masses, so support your local, your indie musicians in your area. So that was one of the little things we were wanted to cover, and just kind of keep it out there to everybody, you know, to keep it you know, forefront, because there's so many of them. If you're just looking for new indie musicians to find, and there's a lot of their music and stuff is on like CD Baby, and of course, iTunes. And I think they have a whole indie section in iTunes.
Right.
So there's plenty out there. And you know, if you got somebody that you think is very cool and wants Swoops World to give them a shout-out or an interview or something, let us know. And send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. What you got over there, man? What are you looking at?
I was looking at I came across this story. And this is actually a story I read about like 2 years ago or so, 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And there's this dispute over this 840-pound emerald.
Wow.
It's the largest emerald in the world. And so if you look at the picture there, it looks like just a piece of black slab, maybe even doesn't even necessarily look like rock. It's like half the size of a man. 840 pounds. Its value, which, you know, people are disputing it, so values tend to go up when you're disputing shit. But it's just, you know, because it is what it is. It's a big chunk of emerald. At $372 million.
Wow.
Who
found it?
It was actually a mining. Here's the thing. I heard about this story, like I said, 2 or 3 years ago, because there's this guy who was saying he paid for it. He sent his money, right? He'd gone to Brazil, looked at it, had experts. This was his testimony.
Right.
Looked at it, had experts verify, you know, it was an emerald, and that if they cut it up in such and such ways, they could make such and such money. So then he paid, he claims, I forget what it was, like $30,000 or $40,000. And then it was found in a mine in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And Brazil, I guess, has lots of emeralds. It's one of the places on the earth that has like the highest concentration of emeralds. And apparently the emerald, all the other emerald mines that are kind of in the world have kind of been depleted.
Uh-huh.
There might be more somewhere, but right now, Brazil's the place. So they found it, and here it goes. He claims he $60,000, but then it was never shipped. That's what he said. It was stolen along the way. Well, so he sued, right, in federal or international court, whatever it is, and so there was this all dispute. And other people were laying claim to it as well,
yeah, of course.
But the story was, like I said, 3 years ago, didn't really just focus on this guy. And, you know, I don't know why they did, but it turned out that a judge recently, last couple days here, April 13th, wrote a 48-page decision essentially saying, time and again, the court found that this guy presented stories that were neither logical nor reasonable. As a result, the court lost confidence in his truthfulness. And what happened was they actually shipped it to America. So somebody actually, you know, was going to take hold of it. And that's when the dispute arose and this big court battle. So it still remains to be seen who is actually going to own this. But the guy who claimed it, the guy who they originally wrote the story on, has basically been, like, ruled out. Like, basically everything he said was bullshit. Judge called bullshit. But apparently, you know, he's still standing by that he had. But the rough emerald was mined in the Bahia region of Brazil around 2000. Has been valued anywhere from tens of millions to $372 million. It has passed through myriad business deals. Was listed on eBay, apparently, for sale at one point. And was stored at New Orleans Vault, which is where it kind of disappeared and then reappeared. Where it sat submerged for months after Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
So it's been now it's in the custody of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department because, like I said, it arrived in L.A. to be delivered to someone, and that's when this big fight started. And then it was first reported stolen by a Los Angeles man who found it missing from his South El Monte vault. Sounds a little suspicious right there.
I've been to South El Monte. Yeah. I don't have any vaults.
Somebody's basement. Anyhow, it's crazy because it's legit. It's a totally, it looks like a big black boulder, but it's legitimately a giant emerald. And at the very least, it's worth a few million. And yeah, so there was a whole thing on it. A follow-up story in today's L.A. Times.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that's kind of crazy shit, man. I mean, if you look at that thing, I mean, it's big.
It's
huge. I'm a guy that carves stone, and I've dealt with big rocks, and I'm like looking at that going, I could really just, you could hurt yourself moving that sucker around. Because also, you know, you can tell it's got, like, edges. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks like sharp edges.
Yeah. Like, you know, so not like pieces of marble, which are usually pretty just round. Anyhow, kind of a semi-interesting
story. So it keeps getting moved around.
It keeps getting moved around. And it sounds like, I mean, nobody said this, but it sounds like whoever mined it sold it multiple times is what it sounds like. and then everybody tried to, well, I paid money for it.
Right.
And then when it actually got to America, it's like, it got shipped to America. It's like, that's when the legal battles really, the brouhaha.
Well, it wouldn't put it past him. The guy who mined it goes, okay, yeah, I can sell it to you. Mm-hmm. I can sell it to you.
You pay the shipping cost.
There's nowhere to be found now, right?
And give me, you know, wire me $10,000 and it'll go out on the next slow ship to Long Beach.
It's like a Craigslist.
Yeah.
You'll find these people like Judge Judy or something. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny if it's your money and you're waiting, you know, whatever, but the story is, it's intriguing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and big, I mean, because obviously, you know.
What's that behind him? Are those more stones? It's wrapped the same, I mean, it looks like it's...
Well, yeah, that's that first one. It almost looks like it's behind him is some black, they look like they're black trash bags, full stuff. And I'm thinking...
That's just
this doesn't really tell you.
Yeah. He's got a bicycle wheel and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just somebody's storage center.
Yeah.
They're not telling you what the picture, but that's the guy who basically his claim was thrown out. So that's why the picture's in there. It's because it's him next to the emerald, and he has no claim.
The judge called him on it. Who's the judge? Right. Penn?
Because
they had that show.
No, that's Anthony Thomas. Isn't the San Jose businessman. And then...
That's funny, though.
Yeah.
Judge called him.
Judge John A. Kronstadt. Yeah. Kronstadt.
But if it's a follow, see what kind of record he's got, man. Always so tough. Tough on people who come before his court. That's funny, though.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that is kind of funny. Yeah, we don't believe you. So move along. Next. He's just going to win all those claims down.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Speaking of judges, there's a story in the on the news just before we started the show. A judge in Santa Ana Court,
mm-hmm.
That's the main courthouse down in Orange County, I believe.
Yeah.
He's 25 years on the bench, and he remains on the bench while the investigation continues. But he's accused of giving ticket breaks, signing off on tickets and stuff for relatives, friends, and, you know, co-workers. So I don't know how it came to light, but they said, you know, he could be disbarred, lose his job, and, you know, spend up to 10 years in prison.
Isn't that the whole reason you become a judge?
But since they're just investigating and their allegations, he's still making decisions on the bench right now. So, which I guess is fair because he hasn't been convicted of anything.
Right.
But it's still, if you lose to him and then he's convicted, then you have a right to come.
You would think
people go, hey.
Question everything at that point, right?
He ruled against me. Who, you know, was that person related to him? I mean, all his decisions are going to be looked at from especially from here on out. So I doubt that they're going to have him sitting on the bench. They're probably going to have him.
Pushing papers.
Yeah, shuffling papers in the back
reviewing
room. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody else's decision. Like
I can't figure he's putting on the robe every morning, stepping up to the bench there. So it was interesting, and then it was kind of a humorous story because, you know, they ran that one, and then they told another story, and some of the stuff the newscasters say are baffling because they were talking about, I think it's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She just came out that she was bipolar or something like that. But the story was that they said they were explaining her attributes.
Right.
You know, she's, you know, an Academy Award nominated actress. And then they said a faithful wife. Lincoln, okay, so this is what chooses your long list of achievements? I guess in Hollywood, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. But the thing is, can you prove it?
Yeah, exactly. You can say it. They just, and the follow-up to that was, she stood by Michael, whatever her husband
Douglas,
was.
Right?
Douglas.
That's who she
through, yeah, through his cancer scare.
Oh, I didn't know you.
I've said, well, so this is...
It's kind of what she's supposed to do.
Yeah, right? Kind of what you expect, right?
I mean, they are Hollywood stars and all, but...
I just found it amusing. It was like, this... What are you doing? I mean, who wrote this for you? You read this off a teleprompter?
Yeah.
Are those your own thoughts? Whatever, it's stupid.
You got to fill that half an hour or that... hour segment somehow.
You know, I'd expect it like on TMZ or something, but this is like the legitimate, you know, evening news, man. And that's what they come up with. I was like, oh well, whatever. And this is why I don't generally watch it that much.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure.
The genius is behind the mic. Anyway, you're listening to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio, and we'll be back after this.
Talk Story Radio.
This is Joe Perry
and Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
Someone that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for 2 hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Why the words you say? This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Lady Vajayjay, and you're listening to Swoops World Radio.
And welcome back to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network. And Lady Vajayjay, one of our past guests, which you heard, the music we heard before was One More for All My True Friends. That's by Channel 3, good friends of ours, past guests on the show. And we always support our guests and their music, and it always gives us something to play. So it's all good.
That's right. Win, win, win.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, there's a new movie out called Win, Win with Paul Giamatti. I'd have to check that out because I like him. He cracks me up. He's a funny dude. And I haven't seen I guess he played some serious roles. I haven't seen him in too many serious roles. I always see him in kind of comedy and dark comedies.
Paul Giamatti. Wasn't he the guy that was in
Sideways?
Sideways. Yeah. Oh my God.
Big Fat Liar. And
I haven't seen that one, but Sideways was hilarious. That is just a funny ass movie. Even if you don't care about wine, that's a funny ass movie. I love that scene. I say this all the time. It's like, I would play golf if golf was more like that. That was just all. He gets in the car and he's swinging, he's throwing the clubs, and I was like, that would make golf exciting.
There are so many scenes in that movie that just crack me up. Like when he tells the guy, you know, he takes his car and he just rams it into trees because he's going to make a movie.
It's got to be believable. It's got to be believable.
Oh man,
there's the famous, you know the whole thing about the Merlot.
Oh yeah,
no fucking Merlot, no fucking Merlot. And drinking and dying.
You didn't do that, did you? Did you? Oh, I talked to you about that. You sneak back in the house to get the wallet.
Oh, that's the funniest part of the whole movie for sure. You know, he comes back and that's a true friend right there.
That is a true friend.
And then they're going at it, and the guy's like, the husband's talking about it.
Did you bring him over here? Ah, you little dirty whore. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, that was. I love that movie, man. It just cracks me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen start that to finish.
A little while now.
I got it, man. I'll drop it off.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, there's so many movies. You start talking about the movies and scenes. So many movies you watch that have these like memorable scenes, and every once in a while you'll hear people talk about them, and it's always funny because you'll know right away. You go, I remember that. Etched in your memory.
Yeah, you know? We used to all the time. We were always quoting like shit out of the. That just drew a blank. Out of
That's a good one.
Chevy Chase and the golf.
Oh, yeah. Vacation?
No, that's...
Oh, no. The golf. That's Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. You know, we were always... every day you tried to... Especially in the restaurant business, you know, where you have, like, those dull lulls where you're just, like, sitting around waiting for something to come in. You're trying to work something in, you know, and I can't count the number of times we were working in some sort of a Caddyshack line or phrase or play on. That's one of those. And, you know, any one of those guys are not anywhere near as funny alone in their own movies,
right.
Generally speaking.
Right.
But all together, like Rodney Dangerfield is, I don't mind his stand-up, but really... All of his movies were some of the dumbest, lamest, stupidest movies. But
when he was funny, that was out there. That was funny. It's when he went back to school.
Back to school, right?
That might have been a call.
There were parts of it.
Yeah.
And like Chevy Chase. I mean, Chevy Chase was funny in the Vacation stuff.
He lost his humor, man.
Oh, it's fast.
Yeah,
really fast.
He did. But
I like the Vacation one. Christmas Vacation was hilarious. We watched that every Christmas.
Three Amigos.
Yeah, I was okay with that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
And then Eddie Murray. Not Eddie Murray.
Bill Murray.
Again, he did Stripes. Stripes was funny.
Stripes was funny.
And I think Stripes came after Caddyshack. Yeah, Lightning Francis. Just love that. This is great. And And then, you know, I did a couple other that were, like, sort of good. But then, like, I like his cameo roles.
Right.
Those are funny, but...
Did you see the one... Oh, God, I don't remember the name of it. It was actually pretty good. It was like it wasn't a comedy, really. It's the one that Sofia Coppola directed and got the Academy Award for.
Oh, my God. That was a good movie. But I will never watch that again.
Kind of depressing, huh?
Kind of. Jesus Christ, man. I was like, oh my God, I gotta go get a beer. I'm gonna drink some whiskey. It's not even over. I'm like, I'm getting hammered. I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. What was that movie called?
I can't remember what it was called.
No, it was a great movie. I mean, in the acting, the script.
Yeah. But
great movie, but it's like, oh my,
the subject matter was a little like, heavy.
Just killing me. I was like, oh, this is horrible. But again, where I was talking about his cameo roles, have you ever seen The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yes. And he's in that funny movie.
He's in that too, where you're like, he plays the shrink that is going to marry the daughter.
That's right.
And it's like, he just does it so perfectly, you know?
What about Bob, man?
That was too stupid. Although I will say I had a kind of a soft spot for Ghostbusters. I liked Ghostbusters. The first one. The second one, the third one, fourth one, however many others they did. the first one was just different and unique enough. And I think that's the last funny movie I remember him where, like, he was like, you know, the star.
Well, here's the thing.
Lost in Translation. That's what we were talking about. Lost in Translation,
yeah. I liked him in, and I think it's more because I liked Andy McDowell, but what was the one? Groundhog Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Painful. Just couldn't do it.
I liked him in that one, but, you know.
Scrooged. That's another one I like of his.
Yeah. He plays
update of basically A Christmas Carol.
Right.
Christmas
Story. And he plays the Scrooge, right?
Yeah. And he was great in that.
Yeah.
But again, Scrooge was 88. So, you know.
So, you pretty much say he hadn't done anything in 20 years that you liked.
Yeah. Stripes was 81.
Stripes is hilarious.
Caddyshack was 80. Yeah. And, of course, the Saturday Night Live stuff is classic.
Yeah.
The Coke! No Coke! Pepsi!
No fries.
Chips! Cheeseburger! No cheese! They wouldn't even be allowed to make that one.
These guys... The best Saturday Night Live are the old guys.
Oh, for sure.
I can't even stomach the new shit.
Eddie Murphy.
Mr. Rogers. Robinson.
Mr. Robinson.
Robinson! You sell my kid a doll with a cabbage head!
Children, we're going to learn a new word today. Can you say, bitch?
Oh, and I like when he played Gumby. I'm Gumby, damn it.
Or Buckwheat. You did the whole Buckwheat stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Buckwheat, exactly. Yeah, those days, those are some cool days, man.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, bro. Oh, very nice. Thank you, sir. Oh, man. Well, look who's here, man. Our cohorts from the
We're about to send out, you know, send out someone on you guys. Make sure
Peter was worried about you, man. He was legitimately worried about you.
We went to Hokkaido, man.
Maybe you guys
You have to give a good hour of eating time to justify the amount of money you're spending on an all-you-can-eat dinner.
Yeah. Oh, look who's got a new computer.
Yeah, I totally came into the 21st century.
Sounds familiar.
I remember the jerk said that to me. Oh, that shit's funny.
What's up, Taylor?
Oh, man. Hell of a day, boys.
It must be. I see what you're putting in there. Oh, so we were, you know what, we were just talking about classic movies and classic scenes and movie scenes, and we were going through Bill Murray's litany of films. Peter has decided that he hasn't made anything worth seeing in the last 25 years.
Well, no. He hasn't been the star of anything worth seeing since 88 or so.
You didn't enjoy Lost in Translation?
We just talked about
that. Well, we talked about that. We thought it was a great movie.
It wasn't Bill Murray.
It was just depressing as all hell. Yeah. You know, I was like, I told Keith, I was like, Swoop, I was like halfway through. I'm like, oh my god, I'm drinking whiskey. I was, by the time the movie ended, I was so fucked up because I was just like, this is just horrible.
Your wife's going, what are you bending my spoons for?
Yeah. It was a good movie. It was well acted, well directed. The screenplay, but I can't say I liked it. You know, so it's one of those things. You know,
but what about the Royal Tenenbaum?
Well, see, again, that's what I was saying. He's great when he plays like those cameo roles.
Very eccentric kind of weirdo.
He's hilarious. Oh yeah, it's such a great. I like that one. And then what's the other one we were looking at? He's.
I still like What About Bob, man.
My favorite part of the Tenenbaum's movie is when he comes flying in the kitchen. The black guy sitting there at the table, he goes, "What's happening, Coltrane?"
Now, I like the part where, what's his name, Owen? The two brothers in there, the blonde one. He breaks out and he starts driving away, you know, like he's supposed to be. That whole scene, all the stuff that works with that is great, and then what's her name's in that too? I'm so bad.
The name. You are horrible with stars' names.
The younger chick, who I think is a great actress.
Well, that narrows it down.
Not especially
the younger chick.
Well, she's the only one in there.
Actress. Google Royal Tenenbaum.
Can I tell you guys something that's really great that happened in my life in the last 2 weeks?
You got a computer.
Does it have to do with movies?
No. No, but it's funny.
If you want to talk about Bill Murray movies, I'm going to take it back to Lost in Translation, and then I'm going to take it to Scarlett Johansson, because goddamn, I love to look at
her. Oh, man. Yeah. No, she's gorgeous.
I actually just went on my Netflix queue and ordered like 4 movies that she's in, just because I love to stare at her.
Well, you know, there's...
She happens to be very
Gwyneth
talented,
Paltrow.
Too, but...
Oh. Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, man.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I mean, there are times where you rent a movie just to see a certain actor or actress.
Well, after what was it?
Don't tell me you're stuck on Benji, though.
No. After the second Matrix, there was that woman where they go into the restaurant, and the woman walks them. She her husband is the French guy. And so she's like, I'm going to... She basically betrays him because he's fucking around on her, right? And so they walk her... She walks him through the kitchen. You remember that whole scene? Like, she's in the latex. I was like, oh my God, who is that? I went and found her. Her name's Monica Bellucci is her name. And she's an Italian actress with like a Spanish... No, an Italian actress with like either a Spanish or a... No, Italian actress with... French dad or mom. And anyhow, the point being is she's hugely popular in Europe.
Right.
And I went and Netflix and like she's got 20 movies. I put them all on the list. And I've seen just about all of them. And she is just drop dead gorgeous. I mean, just gorgeous. And like, anyhow. So. Kind of like Scarlett Johansson is beautiful, but this chick Monica Bellucci is even more so in my book. But I can understand that. I can understand that impulse to just, you know, check that out. And of course, you know, she always plays, in the case of Monica Bellucci, she always plays a very sexy role. You know,
yeah.
Although, when I did look at the list, the one role that I skipped on, she played in The Last Temptation of Christ.
Really?
I'm like,
yes,
I watched that whole movie, and I'm like, I know the name from. I cannot picture her. I've seen the movie. I cannot picture in the movie. I don't know where. I even read it. I was like, really? That was her? So
yeah.
That was
That's
weird.
Where I remember the name, because you were telling the name, and I'm thinking, this sounds familiar.
I think she
played
Mary Magdalene.
Right,
I think.
She did.
But I didn't go back, because you don't, I mean, she's in a... Basically, like a frock, you can't even see. I'm like, don't waste your time. If you want to see how beautiful she is, don't waste your time on that one. Watch the other stuff. Just saying. But those independent films and the foreign films are pretty racy.
They are. They are, and they're good. What do you got for us, Chris? He's chopping at the bit, man. Tell us your story, man.
Oh, Lions Club Wednesdays, right? Well. A couple weeks ago, they got rid of...
Sorry.
Oh, wait. That's my boy. See you later, Shambo. Have fun.
He's on that plane.
My son is taking off. He's on his way to D.C. for a week.
So. He's doing the East Coast trip?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, he's on the East Coast trip.
It's that time of year.
It is that time. So away they go, and that's right. That's it. 9 o'clock.
I'm sorry about that, CeeLo.
No.
We were waiting on that.
No worries. I'm glad that we were able to have a moment of talk about that. Anyhow.
It's all about CeeLo.
No. I wasn't being sarcastic for once, actually.
Well, who knew? How can you tell the difference?
anyways, but so we used to have these kind of raunchy old ladies that served us meals and stuff like that. Well, they got rid of the raunchy old ladies, and they hired this catering company, and now there's these two extremely hot blondes that walk around and serve us during Lions Club meal. And yes, that is one of the best things that happened, but the best thing that happened is watching all the old men perv out on the It is like a comedy show, man. I mean, they're asking for kisses, they're grabbing, they're touching, they're groping.
They're old, they figure they get away with that shit. You put the old ladies out of business, huh?
See, the thing is that Bill Murray reminds me of kind of a creepy old man. I can totally see him creeping on some young girl. Hey, I'm Bill Murray.
His cameo in Zombieland is fucking awesome.
I've never seen Zombieland.
Oh, dude, it's a cheesy as all hell movie, but it's actually pretty funny. And Bill Murray, I can't tell you what happens because it will completely ruin it, but he has an excellent cameo in that film. And I'm calling it a film very loosely. That's a flick.
Well, Scream 4 just got released.
Oh, that's right.
And I heard the funniest quote from you know who Anthony Anderson is? He's this black comedian guy. He's playing a lot of stuff. He's been on like Law and Order for a while, and he was a kid actor on like the Disney Channel and stuff, and he's doing a lot of stuff. But anyway, he says, I think it was on Disney Channel, whatever. But anyway. They were interviewing him, and they said, "This is Scream 4, you're in Scream 4." He says, you hope this continues? He goes, "Man, I hope there's a Scream 5, a Scream 6, Scream 7, Scream 8. He goes, "Of course, I'm the black guy in Scream 4. I won't be in 5, 6, 7, and 8. Oh, yeah, but it's funny. I like Scream. Scream movies crack me up. They're hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I always enjoy a good spoof, you know, going back to, what was that movie way back? Gosh, you guys are too young, but you might remember. It was like a total spoof movie. It came out like in the 70s, American something or other. It was funny. They had a scene in there where these people, they come banging on the door, and the guy opens and he's with his family and stuff. They're on 60 Minutes, I need to talk to you. He works at like, you know, some aerospace plant. He goes, just a minute. So then they're waiting, and they go, I think he's in the bathroom. And then the wife goes, honey, are you there? And then the cameras and stuff, they open the door, and he's swinging from the shower curtain because he hung himself. And go, oh, we were just kidding. We're not from 60 Minutes.
Oh, jeez. Out of the
And they had all these spoofs. They had like a dare, because they were back then, they had a show called like a dare game, you know, kind of like Fear Factor, but it was like in the 70s, it was something dare. So they get this guy, your dare is, okay, you're this white guy, you're going to walk over to that group of black guys, and you're going to scream out, the N-word! That's how you walked over there! And they're chasing him and stuff. You ever saw that movie?
Nah.
I got to look it up. It was a total spoof movie, spoof on all the TV shows they were on at the time, and it was pretty funny. It was crazy. I enjoyed it. Not a fun. What do you know? What can I say? Oh boy. Anyway, it's you listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio, and we're gonna be back after this. We're gonna get you another taste of one of our independent artists. This is Rasmus Stewart, Smoke the Hookah.
Started out so innocently, we learn to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed, let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah.
Africa and dance. Rome was not built in a day, and time stands still for no one, they say. Yes, you will pass the same way. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. Confusion creates prophecy. Fall now to their knee. Watch their palms bleed. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. But in a time of man-made disease, fall like leaves from the trees. Now there's only frozen streams. Dance now. So why don't you dance now? So why don't you dance now? We smoke the hookah and dance. It's black and white, it's cut and dried. Show me a minority who hasn't suffered or cried. Living in a land where freedom calls. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. In a land of poverty, the hungry now feed off of their dream. Waiting for the world to turn. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. Door. You'll hear the lies and see the truth. Dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We started out so innocently. We started out so innocently. We started out so innocently. We smoke the hookah.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard. It was Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
Oh, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Yeah, I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually, thanks to Smokey.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Get your Smokey on. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is Raspin Stewart. You're listening to Swoop's World.
We started out so innocently. We learned to take what we need. Forgive us for our greed. Let's dance. We smoke the hookah and dance. We smoke the hookah and dance.
Welcome back to Swoop's World, and that was Raspin Stewart, of course, and we saw him about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, April 1st, actually it was, yeah, and he was outstanding as always, and if you get a chance to check him out, it's raspin.com is his website, and you can find a lot of his music on there, too. It's, you're listening to Swoop's World Primetime, 10 o'clock, we'll do Swoop's World Late Night, and we're here every Wednesday night, starting at 8 o'clock, and Late Night starts at 10 o'clock. You can always find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com.
What you were looking at all your favorite actresses' movies there? You discovered some stuff you didn't know she was in, huh?
I didn't know she was in the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
See.
She is the sorcerer, apparently. Who knew? New movie for me to go and watch. Otherwise, I was skipping that one.
She's Mickey Mouse's boss, huh?
Apparently so. Mickey Mouse could do worse.
Could do a lot worse, right?
Heather Brown would have something to say about that.
Heather Brown. Yeah, yes. She would have a whole lot to say about that. Actually, because that's what she does, man. She takes care of criminals.
Sex offenders.
Yes.
People that do Taylor's occupation.
It's a slippery slope.
Hey, at least they're never making convicted of obstruction of justice.
Ow! Hey, that's all they got?
What would you expect?
That was the best I could do.
Attorney.
First of all, I really pissed off they waste our money on that stuff. But,
yep.
You know, let me, speaking of sports, tell you about a good friend of ours, Powerhouse Fitness, and Jack Nunn, who was here a couple weeks ago. Powerhouse Fitness is introducing all kinds of new things. Go ahead and check them out, whether you want to get fit, just stay in shape, lose weight, you name it. They got something for you, man. They have indoor rowing, Zumba classes, boot camp. What else has he got now, man? I can't remember all of it. Spinning classes, two locations. 1347 Loma Street, Long Beach, 90804, and 5750 Boathouse Lane, Long Beach, and personal trainers there also. Most of their instructors have been superior athletes. Some of them have been Olympic contenders, so check them out. Give them a call and stop on by. Tell them that Swoops World sent you, and you get a free week. And you can check out their website is www.powerhousefit.com. What were you saying there, Taylor?
Oh, just, yeah, man. I it's amazing to me that we've spent so much time dragging these guys up in front of congressional hearings, you know. And
we're going bankrupt.
And then to drag them into federal court because they supposedly lied in those congressional hearings. Oh, it's amazing. And they can't even nail the bastard.
And what are we doing? What are we going after them for? Because they were athletes using steroids.
Steroids. And human
drugs. We have more important things in this country to be dealing with right now.
I just want to know. I want to get my flaxseed oil from the same place. That
don't forget your arthritic cream.
Arthritis cream.
That's always a big plus. Yeah.
Because my knees hurt a lot. I got sore knees, man. I could use some arthritis cream.
Oh, look at that. Look at that picture for Sea Living, man. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Is that the boss from Dilbert?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
good old time. So what do we got in store for our late night, guys? Any little teasers for us?
Well, it really, really kind of matters how you steer the situation there. It matters what you allow us to get into. It could include talking about Alan and Bonnie Lowenthal being communists. But for another night.
It's wide open, man. It's always wide open.
I did hear today that Alan Lowenthal was a Socialist Workers Party member back in the day and was over there in Cuba helping out... the revolutionaries.
Well, see, there you go,
and,
man.
And that's why we spend as much money as we do. That's why Long Beach has no money.
That's one of the among many reasons, believe me.
It's a good place to start.
Oh God! And Taylor already gave us his tease, man. He's going to be talking about. And we teased one. I'm sure one of your stories too. We were talking about that $100,000 fine that Oh, Kobe had to like go through his ashtray on the way to work to pull it out.
Kobe,
just for saying the naughty word to the referee.
Yes, what's his name? Commissioner
Stern.
Yeah, he already levied the fine.
It was $1,000.
$100,000. Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
for you and me.
Yeah, that would be pretty
like
funny.
I said.
He just opens up the glove box.
Yeah, he's fishing around his change drawer. Yeah. He goes, "Oh, there it is."
Honey, where'd that money go I gave you the other day to buy the pizza?
Exactly.
And is it really the case that Kobe even has to pay it, or does the team pay it for him?
Oh, I think he pays his
money. I think he has to pay it. I think they I don't know how they get it, but he has to pay it.
So then the money goes to some restitution fund or something, or what?
I don't know.
Probably goes
Stern
in the
throws his kid a party. Yeah, I don't know.
Probably goes in the Stern's back pocket.
The F word! Yes! Everybody gets a Rolex! Everybody in the office! Everybody gets a Rolex! Kobe said, fuck you! It's a good day! It's a good day in the NBA! Oh, it's going to be a great bat mitzvah for you tomorrow. I got to get the good food now. Yeah. We're stepping it on up.
So you're talking about the wife asking for money. There's that scene in Goodfellas where, because Ray Liotta is the Henry Hill, right?
Yeah.
His wife says, you need some money? He goes, how much you need? She goes, that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you tell him about that by the inch,
yeah.
that's not bad at all.
It's like in Casino where Joe Pesci's character's in there with the wife and they're shoving all the stuff into the floor safe and it's just like bundles and bundles of cash and gold and diamonds and all this shit and they're like shoving it in there and the lady's got the diamonds all stuck up in her view in that one scene, remember that? She's
yeah.
with the beehive
yeah.
and he shakes her hair and he's yeah. getting all the diamonds out of her hair. That shit's nuts.
I just like when the guy pisses him off at the... He's always killing people at bars, isn't he? Whether it's...
Oh, yeah. He jabbed the dude in the neck with
yeah,
the pen.
With the pen, yeah. And in Goodfellas, he stomped a guy to death in the bar. Yeah, yeah, he's a brutal guy, man.
He shot Spider, dude.
I know, that was...
That was so fucked up! Are you making fun of me, Spider?
No, this house afterwards that goes... You gotta let him get away with that? You gotta let him get away? Because what the fuck's wrong with you? I was kidding.
Yeah. 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 The most disturbing part of it is all the guys sit back and they're like, wow, that was really fucked up. I mean, the dude shot
him. No. The most disturbing part is when Pesci goes, what? Like, I never dug a hole before.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I go, you're gonna have
man.
To take care of it. He goes, Spider. That's sad, man. That's Chris Moltisanti, man, in The Sopranos. That was Spider, man. Yeah, good guy. That was funny, though.
Oh, man. Is it in Casino or is it in The Good Guys where they have to go dig the body back up?
Goodfellas. When they dig the body back up? I know they do that in Sopranos a couple times.
Yeah, one of those movies, I actually think it is The Goodfellas. Is when they're out there and they got the thing in their face and they're like digging up this dead body. And because they go to Joe Pesci's mom's house. And she's feeding
him.
No.
That was the guy they killed in the bar. And when they opened up the trunk, he was still alive. And he,
oh, yeah, that's right. He goes,
Mom, I need a knife.
I got to cut the deer out of my grill. Oh, that was great. I got this stuff.
And his mom hates that picture. And he goes, hey, what does that look like? I just like when they end the Goodfellas when they're going up cleaning up all their messes and taking everybody out. You know, and they got whatever that song was great. I love that movie, man.
I'd love to roll into a club in New York the way that through the
kitchen.
The table gets carried for the two
in front of everybody.
I mean, that's the get late service right there. You can pick any woman, and as long as she's not too completely prude, once the guy carries your private table in front of the whole stage and sets it down, and everybody's sucking your dick, it's pretty much she's gonna be the next one to do it.
The narrator, she's the narrator, she says, you know, most of my friends would have walked away when he beat the guy across the street and handed me the bloody gun to hide in my mom's house. Because I have to admit, it kind of turned me on.
There are definite, I mean, I know somebody that loves this chick because she'll put his gun in her purse when they go do things.
Well, that's what those purses are for. Who hasn't done that?
Well, I'm sorry, not all of us. Sorry.
Well, you need a bigger purse. Oh gosh. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to wind down prime time right now, and get set up for late night. We have some beer tasting going on, and we'll be tasting. What did I tell you? Hop.
the Old Dominion
Hop Mountain Pale Ale.
There you go.
We'll be tasting Hop Mountain Pale Ale at around about the 10:15, 10:30 mark, and we'll have a T-Bones timeout and C-Live. Who knows? Is C-Living tonight?
No, there's snackings every other week, is what you had told me.
Okay, so. You skipped about 9 weeks, so I figured you were doing some makeup time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just remember one time I brought it was like, oh, I wasn't expecting it. No, I didn't want to get into
Be consistent. Anyway,
there's lessons to be learned from everything.
We thank you for listening to Swoop Show Primetime. Tomorrow on Primetime, it starts at 4 o'clock. Our guest is going to be Patrick Joseph, a wonderful independent artist. He'll be here in studio doing some live performances, and we'll be spotlighting some of his music. And so check that out. And you know what? We're going to leave you with the one for Patrick. This is called Arsonist.
Lonely little quake, let me tell you that it's all just a dream. All that blood on your hands won't come off as a plan. You're losing your grip on your royal command. Up in your castle in the sand, your head is pounding like a military band. Are you sure that the banking, the pounding, the pegging isn't just another scam? Aren't you tired, love, if I was looking over your shoulder? Aren't you tired, oh, march around on your battleground, burning down your bridges, or burning down your house? Oh, there's no one to hurt you, no one to upset you, but you go on anyhow. Burning down your bridges, or burning down your house. You're killing yourself for more than the law allows. I've been trying to get to you for 30 lifetimes in a day, but it's hard when your bones weigh you down like stones, and your conscience is made of clay. But oh, I know that it's hard living in a world where you can't discern your friends and foes. But I suppose that you chose out this life like a rose, like you were picking out your clothes. Aren't you willing, love, changing your face like a display case? And ain't it true, love, marching home to the metronome? Burning down your bridges, or burning down your house. Oh, there's no one to hurt you, the one to upset you, but you go on anyhow. Burning down your bridges, I'm burning down your house. You're killing yourself more than the law allows. Dragging your feet down your empty street. And ain't it dreary, love, for closing your door like it was before? Burning down your bridges, or burning down your house.